Craig's here.
Hello, Craig.
Craig made it.
He made it.
Hey, it's Sunday. There's 8 Sundays until Red Zone is back.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking wonderful.
Well, it's episode 40, and I've started a new tradition. I have my Thornton's Man Gulp, 64-ounce Super P.
And that is, man, that thing's bigger than your fucking head. That's
when I hold it up, it's like almost as big as a screen.
I know. It's like almost like a 40, which is perfect for today's episode 40 of TH Fantasy.
Hell yeah.
So we got some team previews to do. We're going to do, Ryan, you said you're doing the Commanders and the Giants?
That is correct.
I'll be doing the Jets and the Bills today as we continue on our saga to plumb the depths of every fucking team in football. But before we do, we got our number 40 tradition. I'm going to do my team first, so why don't you do your 40 first?
Sure. Well, we've got an interesting person this week. Elroy Hirsch, sorry. Known as Crazy Legs, all right?
So,
he was born with a weird, like, left foot, I guess, and grew up in middle school and high school running kind of oddly, where his, like, legs would, like, kick out kind of the side as he was running.
Yeah.
That's what gave him the name Crazy Legs. I actually watched some tape, and it was kind of... I mean, I thought it was going to be super weird at first to watch it, but it wasn't, like, crazy weird. It was definitely an unorthodox running style, for sure. So he started his career, actually, with the Chicago Rockets in 1946 through 48, but ultimately was famous for being on the Rams from 1949 to 1957. During the 1951 season, he helped the Rams win the NFL championship.
Okay.
Now, take in mind that during those times, there were only 12 games played during the season. During those 12 games, he had 1,495 receiving yards.
Wow.
Averaging 124.6 a game. The third highest average in NFL history. And he got so crazy that in the 1970s, he sued SC Johnson when they put out a women's shaving product called Crazy Legs. And it took like 20 years for it to go through the court. But eventually because he was from Wausau, Wisconsin, I forgot to say that.
Yeah.
Eventually the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled that it was a viable claim for invasion of Hirsch's common law right of privacy.
Wow.
It didn't say what became of it, like if he won any money or anything. I don't even know if he was alive in the 90s when it passed, but
wow.
But he loved his nickname Crazy Legs so much that he sued SC Johnson.
So you sent me earlier in the week, you sent me his highlight video. And so I got interested and I looked up some stuff. Do you know that he's considered the first ever deep threat wide receiver?
Yeah, I was reading that too, yeah.
That was nuts. And then the thing that I also thought was super interesting was that he starred in a movie about himself called Crazy Legs.
Yeah, exactly. I saw that too, yeah.
And he was 30. He played himself when he was in college. And there was a movie critic's review that said he was as an actor, he's both likable and believable. He does very well in his first film assignment. And all I could think is, like, I would hope that he plays himself believably.
Yeah, right.
Like, he did a real shitty job of playing himself. It really fucked it up.
Right.
Okay, so Crazy Legs Hirsch, my 40 is not a jersey number. My 40 is the 40-yard dash, specifically Deion Sanders' legendary 1989 40-yard dash.
How fast?
So, the fastness is just a part of it. The whole thing is that He already knew. He was already the best defensive back in the draft. That was already a thing. Everybody knew it. Not everyone ran the 40 back then, but Deion wanted to prove that he was the fastest man on earth. So he gets apparently the rumor is that he got a private plane, and he confirmed that he did ride to the combine in a limo. And according to him, he told the limo driver, "Wait here." Went inside, changed, didn't stretch. And you know why they asked him about that, and he said, "You know why I didn't stretch? Because I've never seen a cheetah stretch before chasing his prey."
Oh my God.
So he came in and ran four times. His official 40-yard dash is 4.29. But wow. I saw another person whose sheet from that day said 4.27. Rumors are that it was actually closer to 4.19.
What?
Which is what Deion claims to this day was his 40-yard dash time.
That's crazy.
So that would obviously be the fastest 40-yard dash of all time, beating the current record of 4.22, which is John Ross.
That's the John Ross is the current?
Yes.
Like, official time?
Yes. And I would like to state for the record, I think it was while we were doing this podcast, but I didn't bring it up. I started John Ross a week when John Ross caught a touchdown last year for the New York Giants.
Wow.
So, anyways, moving on.
One more notable number 40. Yeah. A recent player, Mr. Mike Allstott.
Oh, I love Mike Allstott.
Yeah, he was a good RB.
Mike Allstott was like the last Mr. Bruisers.
Yeah. A-Train.
Oof, man. He was Purdue and Tampa Bay, and he was a beast.
Yep.
All right.
That's just another notable one I came up with while I was looking for stuff.
My other 40 was going to be Udonis Haslem, the basketball player for the Heat that won a shitload of titles just by like being on all of LeBron's championship teams. All right, so let's go on to the New York Jets, and I want to start with Zach Wilson. I'm starting with Zach Wilson because last week you kind of talked about how you were down on Zach Wilson, the Stormin' Mormon. I wanted to be on the side of this is going to be his second year breakout, but everything kind of points to a minimal to like average bit of improvement at best. But I'll tell you what, dude, his offense was so bad last year. The Jets had the fifth most drop passes in the league. They were right in the middle in terms of yards after catch, but they were 25th in catches that went for 25 or more yards. Zach Wilson played 13 games and was pressured 171 times.
Holy crap.
Yeah, how good can you really be, right?
Right.
So he has a bunch of new weapons, which we'll talk about. But there's new starters on the line, but I'm going to be pessimistic. So he was a rookie quarterback. He played in 8 or more games and averaged less than 15 fantasy points a game. So the best fantasy quarterbacks to ever post a less than 15 point fantasy points a game average their rookie year have been Derek Carr. Not bad, right?
No.
Carson Wentz and Mitch Trubisky.
Really? So, Trubisky?
Yeah, because Trubisky's second year, he averaged, I think it was like 18 or 19 fantasy points a game in 2018.
Really?
Yeah, the year that the Bears made the playoffs, the heartbreaking double doink year.
Trubisky was
a Pro Bowler. So
that's crazy to think.
Yeah, and also, let's see, Zach Wilson, quarterback 19 on PFF. He's quarterback 23 on 4-for-4. Dynasty quarterback 18 on Keep Trade Cut, quarterback 22 on Fantasy Pros. So I like Zach Wilson in Dynasty because I believe in some of these redraft skill position guys, and I think 12 games is a little bit too small of a sample size to tell if Zach Wilson is going to be good. But
yeah,
I don't want him in redraft. So, Ryan, Zach Wilson or Mac Jones
in redraft? Mac Jones.
Zach Wilson or Daniel Jones?
Zach Wilson, he's got better weapons.
Zach Wilson or Davis Mills?
Zach Wilson. I'll go Zach Wilson. I can't take someone from the Texans.
Okay. All right, so let's talk Breece Hall. I compared Breece Hall to David Montgomery in our pre-draft, TH Fantasy pre-draft guide, and I still stand by that.
Hall has the draft. Yeah, he's going to be really good.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to Waleed about it because he's talking about his Scott Fishbowl team. And, like, Waleed keeps saying, like, Michael Carter, Michael Carter. And I'll talk to you about Michael Carter in a second. But, like, they traded up to get Breece Hall in the second.
Right.
They want this dude to be the starter. I'm assuming he's going to have all the opportunity possible to be the main guy in this offense.
Yeah, and the him and Michael Carter are going to be good complements to each other.
I agree.
Their run game is going to be pretty good, I think, this year.
Yeah, if they can block, for sure.
Yeah.
So right now, PPR, 4-for-4 has him at RB19. Fantasy Pros, RB21, RB16 on PFF. Dynasty Running Back 5 on Keep Trade Cut.
Really?
He is the 5th overall running back for Dynasty on Keep Trade Cut. So, if you want Hall, you have to pay, you have to give up so much that it's, to me,
I'm oh, yeah.
So Mike LaFleur, the offensive coach, is a Shanahan guy, which means that I think Hall will be the featured back, but I don't think he's going to get 300 touches. The Jets' backfield is still pretty much the same as last year. They're only missing like 30 carries. And the offense passes 65% of the time in non-garbage time. So...
Well, I'm looking right now on 4-for-4, and it's showing the Jets having the 14th best offensive line this year.
Anything's better than last year, you know?
Right.
So I'm wondering what the opportunity level is there for Hall to get 20 touches a game. If he gets 20 touches a game, I'm in. If he doesn't, I'm out. At that price. I think Breece Hall's great. But I'm not paying a 6th-round pick for a guy that's not going to get the ball 15 to 20 times a game, minimum.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, Breece Hall or Elijah Mitchell?
I got to go with Mitchell just because he's a rookie and we haven't seen anything.
Breece Hall or Cam Akers?
Ooh, everyone's like being real salty on Cam Akers last couple months.
I noticed that.
I'll take a flyer. I like to be bold. I'll go with Hall.
Okay. Breece Hall or Javonte Williams?
Javonte Williams.
Okay. All right. So, Michael Carter was one of the best broken tackle backs in the league last year. Now, remember, he was a 4th-round rookie last year, so it's not like he's old or you know, tired or beat up. He led all the running backs in yards per attempt. He led the team in rushing touchdowns. He forced 39 missed tackles. Pretty good.
Wow.
So, I did a look into their splits and all that, and I think that it's going to be a timeshare. I think probably 65-35 in favor of Breece. I want them to keep both running backs involved. I worry about Tevin Coleman and Ty Johnson also stealing a carry or two since they're trustworthy and we know how Shanahan offenses work. Michael Carter is a bench guy for me. I don't really want him on any of my rosters. All right. So, Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore had elite stretches last year, right? He had some games where he just wrecked shit.
Right.
My fear, though, is that most of his breakout took place when either Corey Davis, Zach Wilson, or both were out of the lineup. I like Elijah Moore. I think Elijah Moore is a special talent, but I worry about what his ceiling is with the limitations of Zach Wilson. And, you know, you've got Garrett Wilson, you've got the tight ends, you've got two backs that can catch passes.
Berrios.
Yeah. And yeah. So I'll say this. What I know for sure is that one of the two outside receivers on every play will be Corey Davis. Right?
Yeah.
And then I think Moore and Wilson line up all over the place.
Yeah, I think they'll use him in the slot and outside, too.
Yeah, because Garrett Wilson was, like, the big thing about him before the draft was, like, he can play all the receiver positions.
Yeah, okay.
So about a third of Elijah Moore's routes were from the slot last year. But he only averaged about 7 targets a game. Well, I don't think that's bad, but I think that if he stays at 7 targets a game this year, I think he's a return on investment. I just worry about how many, you know, passes there are going to be going around.
Sure.
So Elijah Moore is wide receiver 38 on 4-for-4. He's wide receiver 30 on PFF. Dynasty wide receiver 17 on Keep Trade Cut. I think he outperforms all of those. See, I think he ends up around 24 through 26.
Do you think the Jets do less passing this year just because they're awesome two running back combo?
I think they actually run probably about the same. They just involve the backs more in the passing game. Like it's a more concerted effort.
Yeah, yeah.
So PPR, Ryan, Elijah Moore or Russell Gage?
Ooh. I mean, Gage is going to be probably heavily targeted the first part of the season when Godwin's out. When's Godwin coming back? Like,
I don't know yet.
I don't know. I think I'll go Moore. Gage is unproven. Gage is playing with Brady this year, but he's got too much competition with Mike Evans and Godwin. And
okay,
and I will say that Gronk's probably coming back. He just
all right. Elijah Moore or Jerry Jeudy?
Ooh, I'd say Elijah Moore just because Cordarrelle Sutton I think is going to emerge as the best wide receiver in Denver this year.
Okay.
And I think I talked about that last week.
Elijah Moore or Christian Kirk?
I got to go with Kirk just because he's a rich man now. And
he's a wide receiver one.
Yeah, Jaguars actually have a decent offensive line this year. So,
and you're in on the Trevor Lawrence breakout, right?
Yeah, I'm in on the Jags, as everyone knows this year.
All right.
I'm liking the Jags.
So I projected Garrett Wilson to Atlanta. But I honestly think he's better off in a wide receiver room with another stud wide receiver and a capable third option. Like,
okay.
Wilson crushed single coverage at Ohio State when he was running with Chris Olave and Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's going to be the first wide receiver off the board next year. So if Moore and Davis are a threat, I think it allows Wilson to face one-on-one coverages and beat defenders at all three levels like he did in college.
Sure.
I think Wilson's going to come in and take Jamison Crowder's targets. And honestly, man, I think he's going to take a lot of Berrios' targets too.
Yeah, that's probably a fair assessment. Yeah.
I would say Wilson's probably going to end up around 80 targets this year, 80 to 90 targets, which is about what Brandon Ayuk, Van Jefferson, Jarvis Landry, and Elijah Moore had last year. Wilson is wide receiver 44 on 4-for-4, wide receiver 42 on PFF, and dynasty wide receiver 18 on Keep Trade Cut. So, Ryan, I ask you, Garrett Wilson or Jarvis Landry?
Ooh. I'm a Jarvis Landry guy.
All right. Garrett Wilson or Kadarius Toney?
Well, we're about to talk about him next. So, I'm going with Toney.
Okay. Garrett Wilson or Chase Claypool?
Ooh. I think I could take Wilson just because, I mean, is Pittsburgh even going to pass this year?
Sure. All right. Well, so Corey Davis exists. He's fine. He actually averaged more targets per game than Elijah Moore last year, but I think he takes a step back, becomes the wide receiver 3. Fun fact, he went to Wheaton Warrenville South for high school.
Wow.
So I think he's wide receiver 3 unless Moore or Wilson get hurt or they punch Zach Wilson because he fucked their moms. Hopefully they stop throwing to Corey Davis so that Moore and Wilson can shine.
Yeah, what was all that? Did he come out and say that he did that, Zach Wilson?
No, it was like his ex admitted it.
Oh, okay.
Weird. All right, so they're tight ends. There's 75 available tight end targets in this offense after the Jets completely got rid of the whole room. But I will say this, the Jets threw passes to the tight end position at the second lowest rate of all NFL teams last year.
Okay.
They signed CJ Uzoma, Tyler Conklin, and drafted Jeremy Ruckert. I think, remember, this is a low passing volume to tight ends offense, and they signed two of them. So I think they're going to split targets. So I think they're both pretty much fucking useless for fantasy. I don't like CJ Uzoma. Think about this. He played every single offensive snap during the regular season for Cincinnati, and he ended up as tight end 19.
Wow.
So now he's going to be...
In that offense, too? Yeah. Wow.
So now he's going to be splitting snaps on a team with Zach Wilson instead of Joe Burrow. So CJ Uzoma, I'm done.
Wow, that's some good facts. I didn't know that.
Let me ask you a weird question. CJ Uzoma or Tommy Tremble?
Oh, shit. I'm taking Tremble all day now that Baker's there.
Hell yeah.
You watch. Tremble's going to emerge this year. He's going to have a great season.
CJ Uzoma or Trey McBride?
Ooh. I'm going to go with what you said earlier. I'm going to go with Uzoma because you said McBride's going to take a few years.
Yeah. CJ Uzoma, last question, and then we're done with the Jets. CJ Uzoma or Jonnu Smith?
Oh, shit. I'll go Smith.
I would too. All right, so that's the Jets. So tell me about, are you doing Commanders or Giants first?
We'll do the Giants first.
All right.
The greatest team to hate, the New York Giants.
All right.
All right, let's start with Mr. Daniel Jones. This guy's going to be looking for a job next year because he's going to do just as well as everyone thought he was. Bad.
Okay.
He's not going to be good. I can't remember how many games he was injured last year, but he ended the year 232 of 361 for 64% completion percentage. Only 2,400 plus yards. 10 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Yikes.
Yeah. This is the year he needs to prove that he wants to stay a New York Giant.
He played 11 games last year.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. As Tony keeps saying, next year's quarterback draft class is going to be pretty good. So I think the Giants are just buying their time with Daniel Jones. They'll part ways with him and I guess try and get one of those number one guys, assuming, I don't know, I would think they're probably going to try and tank the season to get that pick. Because after this year, the Jaguars ain't going to have number one pick anymore.
Okay, all right.
They've got Tyrod Taylor and Davis Webb backing them up. No big surprise. Jones will get hurt sometime. Tyrod will end up playing.
I got a question. Yeah, I got a question for you. How many games does Tyrod Taylor play in this year?
What do I put the over under at?
So if I put the line at 3.5.
Over.
All right.
I was thinking like 5.
Okay.
Yeah. So not too much to talk about in terms of quarterbacks. Just buying time until they can try and get a stud. Running backs, everyone knows Saquon Barkley is going to be good as long as he stays healthy. And that's going to be a big part of their offense this year. He did not play very much last year, did he?
No, he did not.
So he missed the year before that, the whole year, right?
Yep. Well, he played the first couple weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
Or he played the first week and then got hurt week two against the Bears.
Right. So let's hope that this guy stay healthy this year, because otherwise it's just going to be another ass season. 162 attempts for 593 yards and 2 touchdowns. When he should be the goal line guy, he should have had more than 2 touchdowns. 41 receptions for 263 yards and 2 touchdowns. So 4 touchdowns on the year.
He's running back 10 right now. Is he too high or too low? Or just right?
I think he's just about right. I mean, we're assuming he stays healthy and he produces like he used to. But, I mean, this could go either way. This could go either way.
So I have a question. You are, you ended, I think, what, like 8 or 7 in our fantasy league last year, our big money league?
Oh, yeah, something like that.
So it's a 12-teamer, which means you will be 12-teamer half PPR, which means you'll be around right where he's going. So right now, his average in best ball drafts on underdog, his average draft position is 18. So.
Oh, yeah.
So
the problem with Saquon for me, though, is he's another guy like Christian McCaffrey where I just don't want to invest any money in. He's just too injury prone. Yeah, he's great, but I don't want to play that game every week if he's out and now I got to find someone to pick me up 20 points or I'm going to lose. I just don't want to play that game.
So are you passing on Saquon at that spot?
I mean, I guess it depends who's there, but most likely.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just not worth the investment for me.
Sure.
They've also got Matt Breida. Yeah, great. he had those couple good games with the Bills last year. Gary Brightwell. They drafted him 2 years ago or how?
Yeah, right? He's been around for
two or three years.
Yeah.
And Antonio Williams. So if Saquon gets hurt, just like Daniel Jones, they're not going to be good.
I think the offense does much better if Taylor's in compared to whoever's backing up Barkley. They could much easier afford to lose Daniel Jones, which is not an endorsement of Daniel Jones's ability.
Right, exactly, right. But other than that, not too much else to say about the running backs.
Okay.
Their saving grace is going to be their wide receivers this year. They've got some decent talent. Kenny Galladay, enough said. He had no touchdowns last year, but he still caught 37 passes for 521 yards.
I invested so heavily in Dynasty on Kenny Galladay.
Yeah, I've never gotten to have shares of him in a lot of leagues. And I'm kind of glad, especially because he went to New York. I liked him better in Detroit.
He has 2 seasons with over 1,000 yards receiving.
They were with Detroit, though.
Yeah, well, hopefully, like, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but the Brian Daboll offense, which is went from Buffalo to New York, is so big on feeding one guy.
That's true.
So if they decide he's the guy and he gets 150 targets, I don't even care how inefficient he is. He's going to be a wide receiver too, no matter what.
Right. They've got Darius Slayton, who 2-3 years ago I thought was going to emerge as their number one wide receiver after he had a pretty decent season 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
But then just kind of, I don't know whether it's his natural ability or what. It's just he's not as good as other players. Ended up with 26 catches for 339 yards. And 2 touchdowns.
Not good.
They've also got Sterling Shepard. He had 1 touchdown, 366 yards on 36 catches. Another guy who looked really good 2-3 years ago. I think Daniel Jones, rookie or second year, looked like he was going to be one of Jones's guys, but never really merged into anything.
Yeah.
And then we get to Mr. Kadarius Toney.
Yes, let's go. Let's have a Kadarius Toney conversation right now.
Who, if he can stay healthy, should be their number one wide receiver this year. Last year, even though he was injured a lot, let's take a look. And a lot of his production played when Shepard was missing games. Because week one, Kadarius Toney, yes, he was a rookie, so he only got in on 8% of the snaps. Week two, he only got in on 28% of the snaps. Maybe they saw a glimpse. They started upping his tick on the snaps.
Well, remember, they were like, he came into training camp, and there were issues, and then he got hurt, and it was a whole thing.
Yeah. Well, then week three, Sterling Shepard gets injured and misses the following 2 or 3 games. No, two games. In those two games, Tony got 22 targets, was on the field for 30% of the snap share, had 16 catches for 267 yards. I think that was week 4 and 5.
Yeah, that was the Dallas game, and then whatever the next one was.
Yeah. Was that the one with the crazy catch?
Yes, I believe
yeah.
so.
Yeah. He's really good. He was actually one of 15 wide receivers last year to average over 2 yards per route run on at least 100 routes ran through the year.
There you go.
He's going to be good. And also, he's up right now to potentially be the kick returner as well. But I don't think that'll happen if they're treating him as the number one wideout.
No, I think Wandale Robinson might be the guy.
Right.
So, wait, Kadarius Toney is wide receiver 44 on PFF's rankings. Right now, his ADP is 115. So, in a team league, that's about round 9, round 10. Would you take Kadarius Toney in round 9 or round 10?
I would think it'd be a viability. Like I said, with the previous question, it all depends who was there, obviously, because each draft is different, but that's probably a good spot to take him.
Would you take Kadarius Toney or Tyler Boyd?
Ooh. I think I'd take Toney because Tony's got the better chance to be the number one this year, and I feel like the reason Boyd got the numbers he did is just towards the end of the season, Joe Burrow was like, well, I haven't thrown to you a lot, so...
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, sure.
Right. Interesting fact, as I was just going through like numbers for all these wide receivers, all four of the guys we just talked about when they were involved in running plays where they got the ball, were a combined total of negative 19 yards.
Oh, that's great.
Kenny Galladay, 0 yards, 0 attempts. Darius Slayton, 1 rush for minus 13 yards.
Oh, my God.
Sterling Shepard, 1 rush for minus 9 yards. And then Kadarius Toney had 3 rushes for 6 yards, so that washes some of that out.
Oh, but. My God. Wow. Holy shit. Ryan, that's a weird fact, but I love it.
So let's just say that the Giants aren't going to get fancy with any jet sweeps this year.
Oh my God. Yuck. That's fucking horrible. All right, moving on? We got tight end talk?
Just a couple more notes on the Giants. They picked up Ricky Seals-Jones, the tight end. Just another tight end. They're just filling spots right now. They got Jordan Akins. The only person I'm really excited about, because I like tight ends, is Daniel Bellinger, who they drafted this year. He should be their number one tight end, I'm thinking, by the end of the year or the start of next year.
Okay.
I think he played at San Diego State, right?
Yeah.
I watched some film on him earlier in the year when we were doing that, and he's got some moves.
All right.
I really like that projection for him. But once again, he's got Daniel Jones thrown to him. So who the fuck knows?
Right.
Their offensive line is fucking horrible. Another thing that might hamper the run game. Right now, I think I read it was either 4-for-4 or PFF. It's got them ranked 29th.
Yeah, 4-for-4 has the offensive line rankings. Those are right. Great, by the way.
Right, yeah.
Super detailed.
It was a 2.94 blown block percentage last year for 31st in the league. Makes and sense. Yeah, blown block is how often players aren't able to successfully block the defender they're attempting to, you know, block.
Just a whiff.
Yeah, or engage with, yeah. And their secondary's horrible, too. They lost James Bradbury, Logan Ryan, and Jabril Peppers. So, not looking good for the Giants this year, and that's all I have to say about that.
I like their draft a lot. And I believe in Brian Daboll. I think he's a good coach. So
Yeah, we'll see what that Bills kind of hive mentality comes out. We'll see.
I think at this time next year, we'll be talking about the Giants a lot like we were talking about the Lions this offseason.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're going
to... A lot of promise.
Yeah, I think the Giants are going to rebuild right. So let's go from Brian Daboll's new place to his old place, and let's talk about Buffalo, the only team worth talking about in this entire show. And we start at the top with Josh Allen. Josh Allen is so good that it's difficult to project Josh Allen. He's been quarterback one the last 2 years, so he can either continue to be the best fantasy quarterback for the third straight season or somehow take a step back, which is funny because he kind of did take a step back last year. His completion rate, his yards per attempt were down, and guess what? Still quarterback one. Last year, Josh Allen was third in the NFL for quarterbacks in rushing yards on designed runs with 313 yards.
Okay.
He led the NFL in rushing yards on scrambles with 458.
Oh my God.
He ran for almost 800 yards last year.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he did.
He threw more touchdowns in 2020, but he threw more interceptions in 2021, but his 763 rushing yards is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
He's consensus QB1. The further down the field he throws, the more accurate he is, and he's a lock to rush for 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, you would go on the sportsbook last year, and you would look, you know, you look at, like, quarterback, like, rush yards. Tom Brady's always, like, -2 because, like, he takes a knee every time and he doesn't run. Right. But you would go and look in there, and Josh Allen's would be, like, 46, 50. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
But they scheme him runs and he scrambles. So for 5 weeks last year, he was overall quarterback one in fantasy that week.
Okay.
5 times.
That's pretty good.
He was in the top 3 4 times.
So that's 9 games.
So out of 9 games, he was a top 3 quarterback.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's bonkers. So my worry about Josh Allen is that the departure of Brian Daboll and what it means for the offensive scheme. For the last 2 years, the offensive line has been a top 10 pass blocking unit and a bottom 10 run blocking unit. So I expect with Daboll gone that the Bills won't continue to be the team that passes on first down at the highest percentage in the league. So I think they're going to run a little bit more.
Who's their new coach?
It's Ken Dorsey, so they promoted in-house. It was just whoever the quarterback coach was.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, the coach wanted to run more, and Daboll was like, yeah, but we have a really good quarterback, so, like, we should use that. So, like I said, so Warren Sharp's 2022 NFL preview suggests that Buffalo's schedule this year is tough for quarterbacks, but actually the easiest in the NFL for running back. But despite all those hesitations, I should stop going on because Josh Allen's quarterback one. He's the number one overall dynasty asset on Keep Trade Cut. He's number one, untouchable.
Right.
So I don't want to spend a ton of time on Josh Allen because everyone knows that Josh Allen's just quarterback one.
He's the best.
Yes. So, all right, here's the problem with Singletary, Cook, Zach Moss, Duke Johnson, the ghost of Matt Breida, Thurman Thomas, whoever, Marshawn Lynch, whatever running back Buffalo brings out there. Josh Allen will never allow for a truly relevant fantasy running back. Like,
yeah, no, he won't.
Bills running backs are 27th in targets and 25th in catches inside the 5-yard line over the last 2 years. So the stuff that makes Josh Allen great are the things that hurt the upside for the backfield. Singletary is ranked running back 36 on PFF, running back 41 on 4-for-4. James Cook is higher for PFF at 35 and on 4-for-4 as 37.
Okay.
Cook, huge buy for people in Dynasty right now. He's running Dynasty running back 26 on Keep Trade Cut because I think people noticed. If you remember, before the draft, Buffalo tried to sign J.D. McKissic, and it didn't work.
Right, and we'll talk about McKissic next when we talk about Washington.
Right, so I see that they wanted that role on their offense, and when they couldn't get McKissic, they drafted Cook, so I think Devin Singletary's work in the passing game is going to go away.
Okay.
So Buffalo runs the ball against a stacked run defense box at the lowest percentage in the league. They added some multiple interior linemen. I think they're going to try to focus more on the run this year. I just wonder what the ceiling is. Is it Singletary? Remember last year at the end, Singletary like scored like 15 points every game?
Yeah, yeah, it was weird.
Does that ceiling go away because of James Cook? Like, there's no way that Singletary gets another 50 targets this year, right?
There's too many cooks in the kitchen over there in the running game.
Right. The Bills targeted their running backs 91 times last year. So I think if they want to get their money's worth on Cook, he should get like 45 to 50 of those targets, right?
Yeah, that's safe to say.
So that to me says they're going to get rid of Zach Moss's 31 targets and then probably 20 of Singletary's.
Okay.
So I know Cook is going to be the pass catcher. I think he might be Singletary's like backup, and I think we're going to see him come out of the slot too sometimes. I feel confident saying I like Cook around running back 35, but if Singletary holds off Moss and he's the one they're going to on first and second down, I think he could have some value. So, let me ask you, Ryan, do you want James Cook or Melvin Gordon?
I'll go with Gordon because even if Gordon takes a regression on his snap share from last year, even if he goes from like 50, you know, he was around 50%.
Right.
Between him and Williams, say he goes down to 35 or 40, I think Cook only gets in on like 25 to 35%. So,
okay.
I'd rather go with a slight regression in Melvin Gordon's numbers.
James Cook or Ramondre Stevenson?
I like Stevenson actually this year with the Patriots. I think he's might have a Belichick breakout.
Okay. Devin Singletary or Daryl Henderson?
I'll go Singletary.
Okay. Devin Singletary or Kenneth Walker?
Screw it. Be bold. Go with Walker.
So let's go wide receivers, right?
Yeah.
The Bills go into 2022. With 199 vacated targets. That's 34% of last year's total air yards. So they have almost 200 targets open, just ready.
Sure. Yeah.
This is money involved for the wide receiver room for everyone because of those 199 vacated targets, 190 of those were for wide receivers. So,
wow.
Lot of open receivers targets.
Yeah, yeah.
In 2021, the Bills were first in the NFL in total targets to wide receivers. And in 2020, they were second in the NFL in total targets to wide receivers.
That makes sense. They put up a lot of numbers.
That tells me that Stephon Diggs is going to fucking smash, dude.
Yeah, I want all shares of him this year. If I can get him, I'm going to try.
All right, we're going to have some interesting would you rathers for Stephon Diggs in a minute.
Okay.
He had an off year last year and was still wide receiver 7.
Right.
He is the wide receiver with the most targets combined over the last 2 years. With those targets opening up, surely some will go to Jamison Crowder and Gabe Davis, but Diggs will have increased opportunity to command even more targets than before. Listen to this. 2020, Diggs, 166 targets.
Holy crap.
2021, Diggs, 164 targets.
So you're telling me he's going to get 165 this year?
Most likely. He had the most targets when Josh Allen was under pressure, when Josh Allen was being blitzed, most targets in the red zone, most targets on third down.
You think a lot of those, because a lot of those plays, they've got guys just streaking downfield?
Man, I think they find Diggs at all levels of the field. They make it a point to get him as many targets as possible. They were like, dude, you get eight to nine to ten targets a game, every game. That's just it, period.
Right.
I think there's a chance that Diggs could end up as wide receiver two on the season, wide receiver three.
In terms of all wide receivers?
Yes, sir.
I think that's good.
On PFF, Diggs is wide receiver 4. On 4 for 4, he's wide receiver 6. And even though he's 28, he's still dynasty wide receiver 7 on keep trade cut. So,
okay.
This one's going to be a little hard on you, Ryan. I'm going to give you 2 softballs, and then I'm going to throw you a real fucking crazy one. Stephon Diggs or Keenan Allen, PPR?
Diggs.
Stephon Diggs or CeeDee Lamb, PPR?
Diggs.
Stephon Diggs or Davante Adams, PPR?
Oh, no. I'm going Adams.
Okay.
Because I think Adams is going to be the number one, I think. Number one or two this year.
Okay, Stephon Diggs or Ja'Marr Chase?
Why do this to me?
I'm asking. I want to know. It's the top of the top. There's no wrong answers here.
I'm going Chase.
Okay. So do you have Diggs around like 4 or 5? He's top 5 for you, right?
Yeah, 3 to 5.
Okay. All right, so let's keep it rolling. We got Gabe Davis time right now. Davis time's talk of the offseason. He was, for a couple weeks there, the heir apparent to Jesus Christ himself. Dynasty wide receiver 35 on keep trade cut. Wide receiver 30 on 4 for 4. Wide receiver 25 on PFF. Ryan, we've been in on Gabe Davis. He was all over our DFS show.
Yeah, but it only worked out like a handful of times. Well, not even a handful. Like,
but he's not new to us. His skills and his game are something that we followed all year. So I was not as surprised during that playoff game.
Right. But I also won't be surprised if he doesn't live up to the hype that everyone's pumping him right now, you know?
Well, let me sell you.
All right.
Because I went into this like, he's too overdrafted, he's whatever. Right.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So let's look big picture, right? Emmanuel Sanders is gone. The only wide receiver the Bills signed this year was a slot receiver. So we can assume that Gabe Davis is the other wide receiver on the outside, right? So it's Diggs and Davis out there.
Okay.
So in 2 years combined, Gabe Davis has scored 13 touchdowns on 70 catches.
That's really good.
125 targets over 2 years. So,
okay.
If he gets another 30 or 40 targets this year, so if he gets 100 targets.
I mean, it's definitely possible now that, because they don't have, what's his name anymore?
There's no Sanders, and there's no Beasley, and...
Right, Beasley.
Like, I don't think there's anything in Gabe Davis's way from getting 100 targets this year. And I think if he gets 100 targets this year, that he's a wide receiver too, for sure.
Yeah,
definitely. Top 25, easily.
I would think so.
All right, so I'm in on Gabe Davis. Now let's talk Jamison Crowder. Jamison Crowder comes in to be the slot guy, and not only is, like, Crowder has seen he's had 2 seasons with 100 targets. Cole Beasley has gotten over 100 targets each of the last 2 seasons with Josh Allen. So the slot receiver spot does get a lot of targets. The last 2 times that Crowder got 100 targets, he ended up catching about 65 passes for about 800 yards and 3 to 4 touchdowns. So I think he's a very high floor bench play that could provide some help on like a bye week filler.
Okay.
He's cheap. He's wide receiver 70 on 4 for 4. He's wide receiver 60 on PFF. So what I'm going to be doing at the beginning of the year, I'm going to be looking at Jamison Crowder's snap share So if all the slot snaps are going to Crowder and Isaiah McKenzie is not also getting some of those snaps, then I want Crowder in PPR for my bench. So I now like I'm going to do a couple would you rathers here. Gabe Davis or Hunter Renfro?
Ooh. I'll go Davis. I think Renfro's going to see a little bit of regression, not a lot, but
Gabe Davis or Amon-Ra St. Brown?
I'd have to go with Davis.
Jamison Crowder or Corey Davis?
Ooh. I think go Corey Davis.
Okay. Jamison Crowder or Rondale Moore?
Ooh. I like Rondale.
All right, me too. I think Rondale's such a good play this year.
Yeah.
All right, last but not least, tight ends. Dawson Knox, O.J. Howard, maybe Jalen Weidermeyer? Dawson Knox performed at a stupidly efficient level last year, man. Dawson Knox scored 9 touchdowns on only 71 targets. Not catches, targets.
Where'd he end, like, tight end, like, 8 or something like that, or 7?
He was tight end 8, I want to say.
Okay.
So, Ian Hartitz and PFF said that no tight end that's ever scored 8 or more touchdowns on less than 80 targets has come back the next year and been above tight end 14 in fantasy.
Really?
Yeah. So his efficiency is most likely going to take a hit.
Yeah, they're not called historic seasons for a reason.
Exactly. I don't mind Dawson Knox, but I think right now he's being ranked at his ceiling. 4 for 4 has him at tight end 12. PFF has him as tight end 13. Keep Trade Cuts, Dynasty tight end 10. Buffalo brought in O.J. Howard, which scares me because I think Knox needs as many targets as possible to stay relevant in fantasy.
Sure.
His range of outcomes is very wide. He had 21 red zone targets last year. But only 4 of those 21 targets were inside the 5. So,
yeah.
I think Knox is a candidate to take a step back this year.
I can believe it.
So, Ryan, Dawson Knox or Cole Kmet?
Knox. Bears are going to be horrible.
Dawson Knox or Irv Smith Jr.?
I actually might go Irv Smith because he may actually be like legit this year.
Okay. Dawson Knox or Mike Gesicki?
I'm going Gesicki because I said that earlier this year that Tua was going to have a great year. So I'm going with Gesicki.
Okay. All right. And that is the 2022 Buffalo Bills. Ryan, take us home. Tell me all about the Washington Commanders.
Yes, the Washington football team, a.k.a. the Washington Commanders. All right. Starting off a new year with a new quarterback. We got Carson Wentz in, trade with Indy. And obviously Indy's got Matt Ryan now. But Carson Wentz last year had a pretty decent season. It wasn't great. One week he would have a great day, and then the next week it would be the Jonathan Taylor show where he'd score 5 touchdowns.
Right.
I think Wentz still got some gas left in the tank, even though he gets a lot of flack for not being that great in the league. I think he just gets a bad rap. He had over 3,500 yards passing last year and 27 touchdowns, and only 7 interceptions. Only 7 interceptions on 322 completed passes. So he can put up some numbers, and I think this year he has the chance to do that. I think he goes for over 4,000 yards this year.
Wow.
Yes. I said it. McLaurin just got that new baller contract. Curtis Samuel should be healthy. And Jahan Dotson, who they added in the draft.
Jahan Dotson's having supposedly a great offseason.
Really?
Yep.
I haven't heard anything about training camps yet. Otherwise, they've got Taylor Heinicke backing him up. They drafted Sam Howell for I remember watching him a couple games last year, North Carolina quarterback.
Yep.
I think it was I don't know. They played Ohio State in one of the championships.
No, you're...
It was the year before, maybe. But they also drafted Cole Kelly, who is 6'7", 250 pounds.
Jesus.
I don't know if he was playing last year. It said he was a rookie, but he's like 24 years old. But who knows? I thought that was just interesting.
It is.
But Carson Wentz should translate very well into this offense, I think, with how... the coach...
Ron Rivera.
Ron Rivera. Should translate pretty well with Ron Rivera. I don't know about any other predictions to make, just because it's a new team, new blend, whatever. We'll see. But let's talk about the running back controversy going on in Washington.
Well, real quick, I got a question for you. Carson Wentz, I'm seeing him ranked QB 27 on 4-for-4. Would you rather start Carson Wentz or Jared Goff?
Probably Wentz.
Okay. All right, go on.
I don't know why he's 27. That's pretty bad.
He's below Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, Baker Mayfield, Trevor Lawrence, Matt Ryan, Ryan Tannehill, Justin Fields, Jameis Winston. Those are the 10 before Carson Wentz.
That's surprising.
Yes.
Maybe they know something I don't, but I always thought Wentz was pretty decent. So let's go on to the running back controversy in Washington right now. They drafted Brian Robinson this year.
Yep.
Why does everyone think that Antonio Gibson's going to fade out into the sunset and Robinson's going to take over?
Well, his usage has always been inconsistent, and he gets hurt a lot. But, like, I like Gibson. I think...
I know. I do, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, he was a 1,000-yard rusher last year.
Yeah, a lot of people are down on Antonio Gibson. You can get him for cheap. I mean, I don't want him as my running back one, but my running back two, sure. No.
Yeah, and I think because of that, I'll probably end up with a lot of shares of him this year because everyone will let him keep falling, and yeah. I'll recognize the value, and then, of course, I'll be wrong. But, yeah, he had 1,037 yards last year, 7 touchdowns. He also caught the ball for 294 yards and had 3 touchdowns. So he had 10 touchdowns and 1,000 yards just running.
Right.
That's crazy. I don't see how this guy's going to get any regression, especially a Ron Rivera offense, which is historically predominantly run-heavy.
Are you worried about... Gibson having a split time?
I honestly think the season might play out just like last year, and then unless he gets hurt and then that Robinson guy comes in and he just goes beast mode on the field, and that's the only way I think Antonio Gibson sees regression is
okay. I do see that 4-for-4 has Washington's offensive line ranked 12th. So,
I guess yes, we'll see. That's true. Yeah, I have written that. I have that written down too. Yeah, they're 12th this year, so that should be good for the run scheme to happen.
Okay.
Otherwise, they got J.D. McKissic, who he wanted to be traded, right?
He was a free agent, and then he was offered a contract by Buffalo, and Washington matched it, and he chose to stick with the Commanders.
What I read that is was that like they had to like convince him to stay or something, like I don't know.
Right. Hey, Antonio Gibson right now is PPR running back 25 on 4-for-4.
Wow. Even they're down on him.
The running back ahead of Gibson is AJ Dillon, and the person behind Gibson is CEH.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. So they're expecting a lot of regression then. They're expecting this Robinson guy to come in and do something.
I think a lot of people are just down on Antonio Gibson, man.
I don't know. I'll be an Antonio Gibson truther this year.
Okay. I mean, he was running back 12 last year.
Yeah. So even if he has some type of regression, making him like 18 to 20, like, I don't see how you still rank him at 25.
So he's average going in the sixth round. If you tell me that he's going to get 15 to 20 touches a game and I can get him in the sixth round all day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So you're seeing Gibson as a value right now.
Yes. I'm not believing this regression that everyone's talking about.
Sounds like you're kind of pro Commanders this year.
I do like him. I like Carson Wentz. For some reason, I've always liked, I've liked him. Philly, Indy, I liked him there.
And now you like Antonio Gibson. So do you like Terry McLaurin, Ryan?
Yes, I very much like Terry McLaurin.
Okay, tell me about it.
I'm excited about their wide receivers. So Terry McLaurin got that major, huge contract.
Yep.
He had over 1,000 yards last year, 5 touchdowns on 77 receptions. And now he has someone to actually throw to him. Like, this could be a monster year for McLaurin. Maybe 1,500, 1,400 yards.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think about it. If Wentz translates last year's numbers, he had over 3,500 yards. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for McLaurin to get 1,400 of those 3,500 yards.
Dude, I love it. I love Terry.
Yeah. They also have Curtis Samuel, who only played 5 games last year. But remember his 2020 season with the Panthers?
Mm-hmm.
851 yards and 200 yards on the ground.
Yep.
77 receptions. This guy knows how to play. He was just injured last year. So let's hope that he stays healthy. Also, we've got Jahan Dotson, rookie drafted this year. I mean, you're not going to be able to double cover anyone on these routes, because one of these guys is going to make shit happen.
I love Jahan Dotson. I think Jahan Dotson is going to be... I don't think he's going to be like a steal, but I think he's going to be a return on investment. I drafted Jahan Dotson in 3 rookie drafts, dynasty rookie drafts this year.
For real?
Yeah, I mean, he's there at pick 110 every time.
110, like, so that 110's like 9?
No, it's pick 10 of the first round, so like...
Oh yeah, that's right, that's rookie draft.
He's available right around like George Pickens, Christian Watson, James Cook, and I just smash on Dotson every time.
Hell yeah.
So before we get too far, I got to ask you, so Terry McLaurin is 4-for-4 as wide receiver 15. This year, would you rather have Terry McLaurin or T. Higgins?
Terry McLaurin.
Would you rather have Terry McLaurin or Debo Samuel?
Shit, Debo.
Would you rather have Terry McLaurin or Deontay Johnson?
McLaurin.
Okay, cool.
So like I said, you're really big on Dotson. I like Samuel. And those are the secondary receivers. With Scary Terry, this could be an awesome offense. Okay. Really awesome offense. Not looking good if any of these guys get hurt. We've got Cam Sims, De'Ami Brown,
yeah.
Antonio Gady Golden. I don't know who that guy is. So, if one of these guys is injured, I don't even want to know what this offense is going to look like if two of these guys get injured. 2 out of 3?
Yeah.
It's going to be slim pickings. They're just going to have to run. Because let me tell you, the tight ends ain't helping them either.
Yeah, no shit. I know Logan Thomas is there, But Logan Thomas is still hurt. So who else do the Commies have at tight end?
So here's who your starting tight end is going to be as of right now. I don't think they're going to get anyone else. John Bates. Then we've got Cole Turner. And we've got Samus Reyes.
John Bates last year caught 20 passes for 249 yards and one touchdown.
Yeah. And you still don't know who John Bates is.
John Bates is tight end 57 on 4-for-4.
Oh, damn.
Which means he's behind such names as Josiah DeGara, Green Bay. Ooh,
yeah,
Green Bay. He's also behind Kylan Granson.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
So and Granson's still in Indianapolis, right?
Yeah. And he is 9 spots behind Ryan Griffin of the Chicago Bears.
Damn.
But he's going to be their starting tight end week one if Logan Thomas is hurt.
I would assume so, unless they're planning on grabbing someone, but it's kind of too late for that.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there's anyone really left in the pool.
Yeah, I definitely don't see that being a very fruitful position for the Washington Commanders this year.
Right. Their saving grace could be some of their defense. I don't know. Their defense ain't that great.
They definitely had a down year last year.
Their defensive line, though, is 4 former first-round picks, so that could be good.
Yep, if Chase Young gets back to it, like, this defense is awesome again.
But I think it's 4-for-4 also said that their linebackers are the worst in the league on paper. Like, so they might have a good pass rush, but they got no one in the backfield.
That's brutal. Huh. Okay. Well, that was good. That was informative. I'm excited to see you stake your claim on the Commanders being a decent offense this year. I think it'll be interesting.
And I think it'll be so interesting that they make the playoffs going 8-9.
Dude.
Just like they did last year.
Let's see it. We'll see it happen. I want to see Washington. Well, I want to see the ownership
What did we say the line on Washington wins was earlier this year?
Like I'm 7? Pretty sure we took the under.
I gotta have it somewhere. I'll find it. Yeah, we probably definitely took the under.
Well, I think Wentz is being underrated. I don't think he's great, but I think he's going to do better than he's being projected right now. We've seen great play out of him in the past. We know he's capable of it. So I'm less concerned about Wentz losing me games, but I don't think he's going to win me games because Carson Wentz will put up a lot of like one touchdown games.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't do shit anymore.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I will say that I don't agree with all this Antonio Gibson regression. I will stake my claim on that.
Okay. I want to see Antonio Gibson be successful, man. He's a good football player.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much it. Next week I have the Dolphins and Patriots, and you've got the Cowboys and the Eagles.
Yep.
I've been doing some research already on the Dolphins, learned quite a bit. So, I have a surprise favorite Patriots back in the backfield. I've picked one.
Uh-oh.
So,
you're going to pick a Belichick boy?
I am going to pick a Belichick boy, and I will do it proudly. So, that's our little teaser for next week. So, come back next week, and I'll reveal my Bill Belichick backfield boy. BBBB. That's going to be the next episode. But yeah, so it was a good episode, Ryan. Craig, you did it. And next week we got episode 41.
Hell yeah, 41.
41's a big number. Look forward to it. So,
and then we just got the North left, and then that's it. And then we're in preseason.
Yeah, and Oh God, I'm so excited. I can't even get over how excited I am. Like, training camp starts like next week for some people.
Yep.
So we'll have plenty of stories. I'm sure we're going to have to like do shortened versions because somebody will have gotten hurt.
Yeah. Well,
breaking news. Yeah.
But for now, enjoy and take like deep breath and think about how good it is that nobody's hurt right now.
I know, right?
So,
get ready. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. And it's going to fucking suck. So,
yep.
All right. So for Ryan and Craig, I think that's about it for us tonight. So we'll see you guys soon.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Matt Breida, yeah, great.